Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 27th of April, recording at 9:19 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here on yet another interesting day. Asian stock markets, the bigger ones, China and India, were a little bit lower. The ASEAN sector, quiet, but quietly steady. It should be said, and those have been the leaders all along. The European stock market seesawed a little bit early on, following that softer tone in Asia, but then closed with modest gains for the most part. I mean, there were two absolutely minimal declines on the day. That was Switzerland and the UK, but certainly off the lows. And in the Americas, the interesting story here is that Wall Street, which had been up a little bit, but then rallied towards the close when it was quite clear that the Fed indicated that it was going to keep interest rates on hold, really, for the foreseeable future. Now, whatever that means, at least a few months is everyone's interpretation. And the market liked that and pushed to new highs, with the S&P closing not far off the highs, but at 1355, and the Dow up to 12,690. So those are gains of 0.75 percentage point for the Dow and 0.62 for the S&P, and the Nasdaq a little bit firmer than that. That still. Now, against this background, long-dated government bond prices weakened in here today, and that's a change because I had this rather interesting and somewhat bizarre situation where bond prices were moving up along with stock market prices, but the bonds were weaker today, and the U.S. 30-year future is down about is down 31-20 seconds as I speak, and we had similar declines in bunds and gilts. Now, there was quite a bit of drama here regarding the dollar. When Bernanke came out with that statement, the dollar had been a little bit steady early on, but then weakened right through to the close, breaking downwards again on the U.S. dollar index. That's down to 73.31. And that caused... the way that played out in other rates, we've got the Australian dollar, for instance, up at 108.73. That's probably a new high. We've got the euro up to 147.83. And we've got sterling here up to 166.630. So this really was quite a sharp turnaround by the U.S. dollar. Now, precious metals were the major beneficiaries of that, although it helped the stock market a little bit when that announcement that interest rates are going to stay where they were indefinitely. But it really turned around the silver market, which had an extraordinary range on the day again. It had seen a low at some point this afternoon at, I believe, at 44.85, but then closed up nearly $3, well, $2.82. It's still trading here after hours, but silver is currently at 47.91. You've had a $3.50 swing in here on the day, currently 47.89 as I speak for spot silver, And gold also responded with vigor. It had seen a low at 1501.7 and then rebounded to a new recovery high for this move. It's a new all-time high in nominal terms, obviously not in inflation-adjusted terms. But gold right now is at 1526.30, and platinum shot back up to currently 1829.8, and a gain on palladium, which has been a underperformer in here recently, 767. The industrial metals, I think, were mostly a little bit easier, including copper, which is down 6.4 cents, although off its lows. And in the agricultural commodities, the grain and bean complex weakened here today, particularly wheat. So sort of mixed activity in commodities. It was really the precious metals that liked the weak dollar, and maybe that's not all that surprising, despite silver's climactic action recently. But more on that in a moment. Okay, so where are we going here? What's going on here overall? Wall Street's push to new highs, and that really puts my small short positions that I opened yesterday. It certainly questions that strategy, and I'll give it a day or so, but I want to see evidence of an upside failure here, or I will certainly close that position. I won't let it run against me to any extent. I certainly don't like running losses, although it's not a sufficiently sized position to cause me any loss of sleep. I want to be on the right side of the trend, not the wrong side of the trend, and it was only a small hedge short. I suppose Wall Street's move up to new highs for the year. Well, I don't suppose it's definitely it's an encouraging sign here for other stock markets, not least in Europe. I'm a little concerned about the lagging action that we've seen in Asia over the last week or so, or some of Asia, I should say. I think that's mainly the China A shares, although the H shares and the HSCEI shares have held up better. But overall, we've still got trading ranges for most of these markets, and it's an environment that I've described for a number of weeks now as a tug of war or a scrum. I've also described it with the on the bull side, we have the very favorable overall monetary environment, not least coming from the Fed, but also from Japan, and we have negative real interest rates in most countries. In other words, below the rate of inflation in those countries, and that's a powerful tailwind. And of course, the QE2 has not ended. It doesn't end until some point in unspecified point in June, or it's not extended beyond June. So we have that favorable tailwind for equities, which we're used to. We've been having that's been in play for really quite some time. Now, on the other side of the equation, we have the strength of these commodity markets. And I didn't mention crude oil. Now, that's important because crude oil, the WTI had fallen down to, it had eased down, I should say, down to 110.71. But it's now trading at 113.17. So that's uncomfortably high. And I think I want to see the Brent in here as well. That's because that's more important than the WTI. That's at 125.46. So that's not good. And I've described oil as a game changer in here. And if we were to see oil continuing to push up, let alone getting up to the highs that we'd seen in 2008, to me that would overwhelm any favorable tailwind factors coming from the accommodative monetary conditions. So it's finely balanced here, but the Wall Street, at any rate, was more pleased with the fact that the Fed was going to remain on hold as far as rates were concerned. Was more pleased with that than it was worried by rises in the price of crude oil. But I think overall, this is more likely than not to be a recipe for more choppy ranging activity, which is why I had opened that hedge short near the upper side of the range in the S&P yesterday. I don't want to sell my long positions, which I'm generally quite happy with, although the uranium mining shares are obviously a disappointment following the Black Swan event in Fukushima. But overall, I'm happy to hold on to my positions, and I expect stronger stock markets by year end. But as I've just described it, this is a recipe here for choppy ranging activity, and if we were to see a major spike in oil, that would certainly be of concern. I don't think it would be as serious as 2008, but it would certainly trigger another correction in stock markets. Meanwhile, we remain range bound overall. So it would trigger another correction in stock markets in direct proportion, I think, to the extent of the upside move in crude oil. And the move that we've already seen, what I've described as the moderate spike in crude, that has slowed GDP growth somewhat, including in the USA, where the Fed has lowered its expectations for growth somewhat. Okay, so don't be surprised if we get a little bit more ranging activity here overall, but this is still taking place within the confines of what is a cyclical bull market for equities, and provided oil doesn't run too much to the upside, we're going to get, I feel, stronger markets in the certainly in the fourth quarter of this year. But we are also moving into a seasonally less favorable period for equities generally, although I'm not a big advocate of sell in May and go away, that there's no doubt that markets have underperformed. If you can look at the data, and actually there's some extremely good data on this in the weekly view that I'll be posting this evening. Okay, what else to mention here? The long dated government bonds. I'm pleased to see that rally checked in here near the upper side of the range. It wasn't a big downward dynamic or even a downward dynamic at all, but it did offset yesterday's gains that had occurred. And since we're near the higher side of the range for these bond futures prices, I wouldn't be surprised if we see some follow-through here tomorrow, and next week as well. Now, currencies, precious metals in their current mood, or I should say precious metal investors in their current mood, when we see a weak US dollar, that's really pouring petrol on the fires of these uptrends that we've actually seen. But has this actually checked the slide? And here I've got to say maybe, but it's certainly not conclusive in here today. But when you get silver bouncing back $3, I've obviously got to pay attention to that. Were silver to establish itself above the $50 level, that doesn't mean just pushing its head above the parapet to be shot and then fall back. But if it's able to break above, let's just go right back to TCS. You get an accelerated peak. Investors will be a little bit nervous around that point. When do they relax? Well, when the market can break above that level, consolidate the gain by finding support near the old high. In other words, a break above 50 with silver finding support near the $50 level. If it were able to do that, and then break upwards again out of that consolidation pattern, we could be off to the races again. Now, that's a possibility, but given the climactic action that we saw on Monday and yesterday's additional follow-through, it would be premature to assume that that's what is actually going to happen in here. It's highly volatile, very interesting, and I watch it with interest. If silver was able to establish itself above 50 and fit those criteria that I described, then I think I would be inclined to push back into some of the other precious metal positions overall. I personally don't need quite so much excitement as silver provides up at these levels, and mainly I don't want to be watching the market all day long. And that's what I would probably do were I to have a position there. Okay, what else? Although veteran subscribers, people who have been subscribing over the last decade will know that I've had far more silver trades all to the long side, every single one of them. Really going back to over the last decade than positions in any other commodity, but much fewer silver trades in the last couple of years at these or in the last year at this altitude. 2008 was a wonderful opportunity to reestablish positions, but I digress. So, moving on. Favorable monetary conditions still for equities and also commodities, some momentum there. We have the commodity strength, though, a threat to stock markets overall, thus the choppy ranging activity. And I think you're going to see more of this choppy activity in a number of markets, not least some of the commodities. I pointed out that deterioration in the livestock contracts yesterday, the lean hogs and the live cattle. Cotton has fallen back quite sharply. Then it had such a huge move to the upside. Silver's recent gyrations. So there's plenty of and some gyrations in the grain and bean complex. So I would expect more of this choppy ranging activity overall. It's exciting. It's tricky in terms of the actual trading activity. And I think there's a ch good chance that the bond market may not like the fact that the Fed has not pointed to some date out there where it might increase interest rates, but is just leaving them on hold. A point I want to make, though, that and I made it in my written material that. Something you've seen with other markets where interest rates have moved up a bit If rates are, and as and when rates are increased by the Federal Reserve at some future point, although the Fed obviously doesn't know when it's going to start doing that, judging from today's comments, it's in no hurry. But when that does happen, now that isn't doesn't spell, in my opinion, the death knell for stock markets. We would want to see what else was going on in terms of influences overall. And obviously we'll be able to make that assessment. But the point I want to make is that usually stock markets are quite sanguine about the first few increases in interest rates, and they often take it as a vote of confidence, particularly if the background concern had been one of fears over recession and deflationary pressures. On the other hand, if the Fed were to stop reinvesting expiring bonds which it actually owns, in other words, as these bonds, some of these bonds, short-term paper matures, the Fed takes that, it just reinvests the capital, keeping the liquidity abundant. If it were to stop reinvesting that capital, it would represent a material tightening. Bernanke, I believe, made that very same point in his testimony today, or in his press conference here today. So that will happen at some point well out there, probably not this year, and that would clearly be a change. Lastly, I think that there's a decent fundamental underpinning to the US stock market and many other stock markets generally that I just want to refer to. And I have mentioned this in the past, but it's the strength of those big multinational companies. And people, I think, have mistaken the US economy's problems and its debt problems, and its high unemployment as a major problem for the stock market. Well, clearly not, because it's caused the Fed to have a very accommodative monetary policy. So that's one aspect to this. But the other point is that, and I've mentioned this on a number of occasions, is that the US's really strong suit, and indeed you can say the same about European companies, and in other countries, the big multinational companies are, for the most part, on a very sound financial footing. They have strong balance sheets and they have lots of cash. Now, what are they going to do with that cash? Well, I would expect some share buybacks, and we've seen some of those, but I would expect more in the year or two ahead. And I would expect some dividend increases, not a huge amount of dividend increases, but they can, if they do the share buybacks, they can afford to do the dividend increase as well, because they don't have to pay dividends on the shares that they buy back. So I expect that. I expect more investment in technology, which is good for the tech sector and good for the companies involved generally. And I expect more M&A activity. And that's an attractive background overall for equities, provided we don't get another big spike in crude oil prices, which really would be a game changer. And on that note, all the best.